How do you like me now? Welcome to the podcast that always takes it there. I am your host, T, from the infamous tblog.com, and now I reside right here on the T Podcast to entertain all of you. Some say I have a way with words. Some call me the Tom Brady of blogging, the Conor McGregor of podcasting, the white Tupac of screenwriting, the King of the Bean, a.k.a. Boston, the man who is always, always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now let me do what I do here, and that is to entertain the shit out of all of you. Today is not going to be announced. This, I promised all of you that I would have extra tea podcast this week. So this is going to be a bonus podcast. Don't know when I'm going to put it out, but it will be out at some point the week of July 29th. I am aiming for 5 podcasts. My 2 regular ones that are going up on Tuesday and Wednesday. I am also trying to do 2 with B-Lo to make up for the ones that we missed the last 4 weeks in the live one this week. And this one right here. I haven't done one in a while. It's my infamous movie review where I take a movie and review it in 15 minutes. This one today, this bonus tea podcast, which will be going up at some point this week, maybe on a Friday, is Tea Reviews Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in 15 minutes. That's what I do. I give myself 15 minutes or less. I come in here, I tell you the movie, I tell you my take on it, tea style, what I liked, what I didn't like, what I enjoyed, what I didn't enjoy, what I wanted to basically say is a plot point here, or the A story, the B story, my inside track, the screenwriter, the movie fan that I am going to give you my take on this in under 15 minutes. And also, more importantly, more than anything else, it's not your typical movie review. My reviews have spoilers, 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 spoilers. I am at the movies 40 times a fucking year. I watch countless movies on cable, on Netflix, on Amazon. I am a movie-loving fan. But when I come here and I share with all of you, I spoil the shit out of movie. I will give you key plot points, key storylines, key characters, key deaths, key endings. You will get the ending. So tune away. Come back if you want after you watch it. Or listen and hear my take about it before you actually go see the movie. So today, again, I am doing Tea Reviews Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in 15 minutes. A Quentin Tarantino movie. I've talked about it on the podcast. I talked about it on T-Blog. I've written about it on T-Blog. I am a Quentin Tarantino fan. Tarantino and Kevin Smith inspired me to pick up the pen or the keyboard, however you want to look at it, and start writing movies. Longtime movie fan, but those two sons of bitches influenced me. Why? I'm a dialogue guy. I like writing dialogue into my movies. I like talking. I have a way with words. I have a way of telling stories. I take my take on a story. I either embellish it to the point where it becomes something entertaining where it originally wasn't, but the story that goes back and forth, the rapport, the contrast that he has in all his characters. Tarantino and Kevin Smith are both very similar in that. Tarantino now has gone back and done historical pieces. He left his gangster traditional movies that he's done, the violent movies, there's still violence in it, and he basically took something out of history. He just plucked it and gave his take on it. What do I mean by that? Well, Inglourious Basterds. That was a group of soldiers that were killing Nazis, in the end, they kill Hitler. That's not how Hitler died in real life. Django is his take on slavery mixed up with a cowboy western. The Hateful Eight, coming off of the Revolutionary War and having, the Civil War, and basically having people in a cabin. And their take on that war and that time and people basing their politics and his take on it. Tarantino did that. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was going to be, is Tarantino's take on the Manson murders. So you knew something was going to happen. You knew it was not going to have its typical ending. It was going to have the true story ending. Now, Tarantino, this is labeled, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, as his 9th feature film. Yeah, he's done small parts here and there in other movies, but overall, he's had 9. Kill Bill was actually 1 movie, and he broke it up to 2 parts. So let's take his small parts aside. He has like about 20, 25 director credits. His major 9 movies go like this. Now again, I gotta go back real quick before I get down to his list. Then I'll spend the next 10 minutes of the actual review of the movie. It's pretty quick. I could get to it. Even though it was a 2 hours and 39 minute movie, I could pretty much summarize it pretty quick. There wasn't a lot of plot points to it. But I want to show you my history of Tarantino. So Tarantino, to me, influenced me, obviously. The movie I've spoken about, True Romance. I'm on here all the time talking about it. I literally end the podcast every time I record with Hans Zimmer, who wrote the score to True Romance. That song is from True Romance. He wrote that. He wrote Reservoir Dogs, and he wrote Natural Born Killers. Hollywood was knocking on his door. The dude just worked at a fucking video store, never had any formal training, never had any formal way of screenwriting. He was just a fan. And he got those 3 scripts sold. And he basically said to Hollywood, you could take these two, but one of them I'm keeping directing myself. So he sold True Romance, that was directed by Tony Scott, Ridley's brother. And he sold Natural Born Killers, and that was directed by Oliver Stone. To this day, Oliver Stone changed that movie so much that Tarantino didn't even want screen credit for that. And they still don't talk. And then he went ahead and he took his other script, which was Reservoir Dogs, and he directed that. That was his first feature film. Number one, Reservoir Dogs in 1992. Again, these are the ones that he written and directed as well. Not just wrote and gave to somebody else or just directed. He directs his own scripts. Gotta admire the fucking guy for that. So Reservoir Dogs, 1992 is his first movie. Pulp Fiction, 1994 is the second movie. I'm doing this all off the back of my head. Number three, Jackie Brown, 1997. Kill Bill, even though it was two parts, came out in 2003, 2004. That was his fourth movie. Then he did, even though it was part of a series, the Grindhouse series, his part, his segment of that movie with his buddy Eli Roth and Robert Rodriguez. He did Death Proof. That was his movie, considered part of that. That was his fifth movie. That was 2007. And that's where he ended his violent genre of gangsters and drug dealers and hitmen and whatnot. Then in 2009, he started going historical. 2009, he became a different Tarantino in a lot of ways where people were saying, oh, even though he was always winning these accolades and these awards, he took these big movies now and he made period pieces, but his take on it, that changed his style. And that was with Inglourious Bastards, with an E-R-D-S and Bastards, in 2009. And then he went into Django Unchained in 2012. And then, I can't believe this, his eighth movie was The Hateful Eight. That was 4 years ago, 2015. I saw that at the AMC Lowell's Boston Common, right on the holidays during Christmas. It was a sneak preview. I managed to get tickets. And it was broken into two parts. It was shot in 35mm, classic 35mm reel. He had intermission in the middle. He had a program. It was fucking amazing. And now here we are with his ninth feature film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This supposedly is the second to last movie. Now he supposedly is going to do Kill Bill 3. That's supposed to be number 10, and that's going to be a career. He only has to do 10. He says he's going to retire. He is writing an untitled Star Trek movie. It's going to be a Star Trek script that he's not going to direct, but he's going to write it our style, Tarantino style. I'm interested to see how that Star Trek movie pans out. But supposedly, he's been talking to Uma Thurman, and he's going to close it all out with Kill Bill 3. Let's see if that happens. Now, let's talk about what the fuck we came here for. Again, spoilers galore, they're coming. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, even though it takes place in the summer of 1969 during the Manson murders, he sets up every possible scenario, every character he's used in the past, every actor he's used in the past. Now, the only thing I've noticed in this movie, and again, I'm pretty alert. I paid attention for the 2 hours and 39 minutes. I did have to make a bathroom run for the first time in a very long time because I had a lot of water before and I actually had a drink. I usually don't drink when I go to the movies. I was actually on a date at this movie and I drank another giant bottle of water, so I had to run out. But during my time there, Tarantino did not put himself in this movie and he did not, surprisingly, use Samuel L. Jackson. He put Samuel L. Jackson and himself in every fucking movie, but no cameo from them. This movie, obviously, I'll get right to it, is Leonardo DiCaprio as Rick Dalton, a washed-up Western actor who's coming to the tail end of his career, and his stunt double played by Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt is Cliff Booth. So it's Rick and Cliff. The story revolves around them, heavily around Rick and Cliff. There isn't any interacting other storylines that you come back to. The Manson murders are a very distant C story. Sharon Tate herself, played by Margot Robbie, is a very distant B story. So you got cameos galore. Margot Robbie played Sharon Tate. You got cameos by Luke Perry, who passed away, Dakota Fanning, Timothy Olyphant, who I loved in Justified. Al Pacino pops in himself. Al Pacino, I think, has never worked with Tarantino, as far as my recollection goes. He plays an old-time movie producer trying to get work for Leonardo DiCaprio's character, Rick Dalton. Kurt Russell's in there. You even got that girl that does the stunts in his Grindhouse movie, in that one he had as well with the cars, Death Proof. And everybody else he usually uses. They have those cameos, like Michael Madsen makes a cameo. I like Michael Madsen. I wrote a script one time and I had him starring as the villain. So he uses all his people. Like Kevin Smith, they're very loyal to the same people. They make sure they keep on getting work. I gotta say, Sharon Tate, played by Margot Robbie, they did a part where Margot Robbie's actually watching herself on screen, but it was the real Sharon Tate. She goes and sees her own movie. So the story setup goes like this. We start off with Rick Dalton already being kind of washed up, not getting work anymore in Hollywood, really. Every time he's getting work, he's being cast as a bad guy, or the heavy, as he likes to call it. Rick Dalton's you know, stunt double is Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt in every fucking movie that I've ever seen him in is always Brad Pitt. Maybe he's a high version of Brad Pitt, maybe a more tougher version. In Inglourious Basterds, he was a more southern military version. But Brad Pitt does not have a range of acting. Good actor, but he's always fucking Brad Pitt. Even at Seven, what's in the box? What's in the box? It's Brad fucking Pitt. He's more Brad Pitt in this movie than ever being Brad Pitt. And he kind of has his own like sub story to the side too. But as Rick is trying to get work, he's being cast into all these shitty movies, shitty TV shows as the bad guy. Rick is trying to make sure that Cliff, Brad Pitt, gets work too as a stunt double. Supposedly, Cliff killed his wife way back when, and nobody wants to use him on the set as a stunt double anymore. But their relationship is the big story. They're best friends. And he kind of becomes, Brad Pitt becomes Leonardo DiCaprio's like errand boy doing stuff around the house. Now, his house is on the Hollywood Hills, right near where Roman Polanski lived. Roman Polanski obviously got Sharon Tate pregnant, and he was off shooting a movie in Hollywood. Throughout the whole movie, they're flickering all these little hipsters, and there's a scene where Brad Pitt's character, Cliff, actually picks up one hitchhiking. He ends up back at the ranch where all these hipsters under Charles Manson are taking place. Charles Manson's played by Dewey in Justified. I forget the guy's name. He's a very small role. You only see him once. On the ranch, you get to see all these people that are brainwashed by Charles Manson. Brad Pitt actually knocks one out. They go back to the house. Leonardo DiCaprio wraps up filming in Italy. He comes back and tells Cliff, Brad Pitt, he can't afford him anymore. They're going to have one last night of getting drunk. So they go back to the house, which is right near Roman Polanski's house, where Sharon Tate and her ex-boyfriend is living at the time. Where the Manson murders are supposed to take place. Those four people were supposed to get killed. There was another couple, including Sharon Tate and her ex-boyfriend. And those are the four that the three Manson cult followers were supposed to murder. Instead of that happening, they actually go by Leonardo DiCaprio's house, and on the way up, he yells at them outside as he's drunk during this night where Brad Pitt is walking his dog, and he's high off a acid cigarette. So these murderers, these worshippers of Charles Manson go back to the car, and they decide that let's kill anyone in the house, in those Hollywood houses. They decide, again, this is where it goes very nonfiction, to stop off to go after Leonardo DiCaprio. They go in, Brad Pitt already was back, he's high as a kite, and all of a sudden it goes classic violent Tarantino. He throws the dog food can, he has a big dog, at the girl's face, cracks her face open. He beats the shit out of the other guy, texts, the dog mauls, the other guy kills him. The girl gets her head slammed off the fucking counter, back and forth off the tables. So then all of a sudden, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio's in the back listening to his headphones. He's rehearsing a scene. All of a sudden, the girl falls out there with a knife in her hand in the pool. Leo gets scared shitless. He goes into his shed, pulls out a flamethrower that he had for one of his older movies, and tortures her. So basically, Brad Pitt, a fictional character, Cliff Booth, and Rick Dalton, Leonardo DiCaprio, a fictional character, they kill the Manson murderers. That would have been the Manson murderers. And they actually save Sharon Tate, her ex-boyfriend, and the two other actors up in that house. And in the end scene, the cops all come, take him away. Brad Pitt got stabbed in the leg. But Leonardo DiCaprio is the hero. And her boyfriend comes down, Sharon Tate's boyfriend, and says, oh, what did it go on? He tells him exactly what happened. And Sharon Tate talks to him on the telecom at the driveway, saying, hey, come up for a drink. So not only did they save him, but it kind of is left off with a Hollywood happy ending that Leonardo DiCaprio, Cliff Dalton, is probably going to get more work now because of the whole saving of Sharon Tate and going up to her house, where Roman Polanski would probably come back and give him work. So it definitely changed the same way in Glorious Bastards, where we all know Hitler supposedly killed himself in a shelter in real life, but in Glorious Bastards, the American soldiers torch him in the movie theater and kill him. So it was Tarantino's take on that. It's kind of like what Hollywood would be like if the Manson murders never happened, and Cliff Dalton and Rick, Rick Dalton and Cliff Booth were the heroes, and two best friends. And that's what it is. It's a real bromance, this movie. So to make a long story short, it's a bromance between an actor and his stunt double, and they're washed up, and they just have fun, and Leo's just stressed out about his career the entire time, and Brad Pitt is more just laid back, don't worry about anything, and they manage to stop the Manson murders from ever happening in our reality, in our timeline. Not Tarantino's best. I put a rate above Jackie Brown if I had to rank all nine so far. I love Tarantino. I always put Reservoir Dogs, then Pulp Fiction at the top, then the Kill Bills, and so on. But it was still good. I still love going to see Tarantino. It was his biggest weekend opening at $42 million. But it will fall off a little bit. But I'm hoping to see what number 10 will be, and maybe that will be Kill Bill 3. That's it. I did it under 15 minutes. Real quick, Hans Zimmer's coming in. Hans Zimmer, who wrote the score and this song that you listen to right now for True Romance, which imagine if Tarantino actually directed that instead of just writing the script. Where to find me? You can find me on Instagram, the_T_podcast for all the podcast related memes and all that cool shit. T-blog on Instagram, all one word, for all my cool, amazing pics, all my travel pics, and everything I do in Boston and my games and whatnot. I put some story stuff on both. I got to get better at that. B-Lo and I are talking about a plan for Instagram. Follow along, DM me, reach out on there. On Twitter, T-blog, all one word. Facebook, the T-blog page. And of course, any questions about movies, anything else that you listen to in the podcast that you like, do not like, want to know more about, email me, t@t-blog.com. And of course, find me on the T podcast, usually 3 times a week. This week, it's probably going to be 5. This is a bonus T episode, a bonus T podcast for you. Hope you enjoy it. And of course, find me the place to start it all, where the T episodes are, and that is tblog.com, 400 T episodes. All right, that's the show, everyone. That was your bonus show. Until next time, always take it there.